Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 44 of Pepperdine People. I am Luisa Blanco, and I am joined today by Leo Hanian. It's very nice having you here. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Well, you recently just published an article in the Journal of Economic Perspectives where you talk about the financial crisis and try to compare it to other crises. And I think I would like you to maybe summarize at this point just the main differences of the financial crisis that took place the recession that took place between 2007 and 2009 in relation to the financial crisis. Kind of discuss the main differences. What makes this crisis different from previous? What makes this recession different from previous recessions? And maybe put in the perspective of the Great Depression, since you have so much experience on that.
Sure. There are a number of differences between the current recession and all previous post-World War II economic recessions. So perhaps the most important is that this one has been much steeper and much deeper than other recessions. So employment fell about 8% in this recession. Employment falls about 3% in the average post-war recession. So employment loss in this recession is about three times as large as normal. The second difference is that there's been very little recovery or restoration of jobs since the recession was deemed to be over. The National Bureau of Economic Research is an independent research agency that has been given the task of dating U.S. recessions, when they start and when they stop. They deemed that the current recession was over in June 2009. So almost 2 years later, employment is really no much higher today than it was 2 years ago. So there's been really very, very little recovery, and that's very strange.
It's still around 8.9%.
Yeah. And unemployment's only recently begun to fall in the last couple of months. So the lack of a recovery in jobs is very, very strange. Probably the third part that makes this recession so different than others is the source of the loss of income production. So in most U.S. recessions, as I mentioned, employment loss is relatively small, and a lot of the drop in output comes from lower productivity. In this recession, there was really no fall in productivity whatsoever. All of the drop in output came from a drop in employment. And moreover, the source of that appears to be some failure of the labor market, you know, the demand for labor and the supply of labor to be equalized. So there seems to be some factor in the labor market that's preventing a recovery. From this standpoint, it looks like the Great Depression. The Great Depression was obviously much deeper than the current recession. But that was a period where there also was very little job growth, very little recovery in terms of employment, and a lot of evidence that the labor market wasn't functioning normally as it should have been.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. So here, I guess, I also want to mention in relation to your article, which is very good. I find it very interesting. You mentioned about when we look at this prolonged recession, right, that ended in June of 2009, some people have provided the policy explanation, which seems to be a paradox, right? Some people have provided policy explanation because we have seen that these policies that have been put in place, like TARP or the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, they actually distorted incentives, and therefore that make things worse, right? Which makes us to be a little, I mean, I'm very curious, you know, to discuss this with you, because why is that? You know, and I know you're working on that in more depth nowadays, right? You're trying to work with a model. So if you can expand on that.
Yeah. So there's some economists who have argued that some government actions deepened and prolonged the recession. And that is, if certain actions hadn't been taken, not all government actions, but certain actions hadn't been taken, that we would have had a less severe recession and recovery would have been more robust. So in particular, economists often point to policies such as cash for clunkers, the home buyer tax credit, and the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which is popularly known as the stimulus plan, as being the policies that did impede the economy from functioning normally. So let me just take a moment and explain to you what I mean by that. So Cash for Clunkers was a program that was quite expensive, in which the government provided subsidies to car buyers. So if you had an old car, the government gave you a check if you would scrap that car. So it was purely a subsidy to try to support the American auto industry, to try to stimulate auto sales. What we saw from that is that net sales really didn't change very much. Sales during the Cash for Clunkers period spiked, and then after Cash for Clunkers was over, sales fell far below what they had been beforehand.
That's
so,
a problem.
So this seems like just a pure subsidy that had very little impact on overall consumer spending. The home buyer's tax credit was something very similar. Home sales peaked. They spiked a bit while the home buyer's tax credit was in place. And then after the home buyer's tax credit was over, home sales fell to levels far, far below, far, far below what they were during the depth of the crisis. So these were simply government policies that changed the timing of sales. We don't think they changed sales on average, but they were really quite costly. And then some economists point to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. That was, the well-known $787 billion stimulus plan. Much of it was aimed at temporary tax rebates to low- and middle-income households, aimed at stimulating consumer spending. So the idea was consumers aren't spending enough. If we can just get them to spend more, that'll get the economy back on track. Well, these checks were mailed out, and consumer spending didn't really change at all. So the net effect of this was to increase government debt substantially. But on the other hand, many people looked at these policies and said, the government's doing all these things. They're intervening here. They're intervening there. What will they do next? And this created uncertainty on the part of businesses. When businesses were interviewed, they said, one of the reasons I'm hiring now is because I'm really uncertain what the government might do next. And what's interesting is that there were about, I believe, 2 or 3 million more jobs lost after the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act was passed. And job loss continued after the recession was deemed over. So these are some of the reasons why some economists believe that some government actions, not all, but some government actions harm the economy.
Oh, very interesting. And I think, we touched on confidence, right? And people were just very
taken
by surprise with these policies. Very good. I guess we don't have much time, but maybe if we can just discuss briefly, like based on your research and your experience, what policies do you think we should move forward? Like what will be the 2-3 main things we should be doing today to ensure economic growth in the United States and to, sustainable growth and be able maybe perhaps to predict and be able to avoid a financial crisis like the one of 2008? Or maybe we can't, right? But some policies that you think will help us to go into the right track.
Sure. I think there should be a emphasis away from short-run crisis management policies, which were the policies we just talked about.
Yes.
There's a fire going on. We have to do something. Something has to be done.
We need to move away from that.
We need to move away from that and pursue good long-run policies. There's wide agreement among economists what constitutes good long-run policies. Some of the ones I think that should be considered are, long-run tax reform that increases the incentives for employers to hire and increases the incentives for individuals to save and invest, accumulate human capital. There's been a number of bipartisan tax reform commissions across both Republican and Democratic administrations that all come to these same conclusions. So I hope Congress can pursue that. We also need to pursue the idea that debt is now about 100% of 1 year's worth of GDP. So we have federal debt of about $14 trillion. This has been, reforms along these lines are always, the cans always kick forward. Republicans and Democrats don't want to deal with this because politically the reward for dealing with it is not popular. It's not popular. Nobody wants to cut spending, but the time has come where we need to address cutting spending.
Especially with high debt ratio to GDP now.
Absolutely. So including defense spending and including unfunded government liabilities such as Social Security and unfunded pension fund liabilities. And probably the third thing is to really reduce uncertainty. For Washington to say, we're still the best place in the world to do business, and going forward, here's what's going to be our policy goals, and here's how we're going to achieve them, and we plan that these are going to be in place for some time. So I think if we can do those three things, we'll get back to a great road to recovery, and I hope we start seeing some of that.
Very good. Thank you so much. Yeah, I agree with you with those with these policies. It seems that it will really bring us into the right track. So thank you so much for being here with us to discuss about the current state of the economy and the recession of 2007 and 2009 and the financial crisis. Very insightful.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.